Go ahead and open up to Romans 4. Hallelujah. This has been an unusual period of time. Haven't been traveling, haven't been ministering. And the Lord gave us instructions not really to take any meetings outside of Tulsa until the end of the first quarter. So that's what we're doing. And so the only real services where I've been doing any ministering is like calling in the lost on Sunday nights. But it's amazing, it's interesting to me, you know, how the Lord, what's on His mind. Because how many of you know at this point, been at this a long time now, I've got a lot of lessons I could just pick off the shelf and teach. You know, I mean, you just pull volume 684 and teach that, you know. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is listen, pray, seek time. Spend time seeking His mind. Because He has something He wants to say. And this during this season of calling in the lost, it's been amazing to me. He's been going right back to the foundational, fundamental, basic principles. The things that, you know, if the devil comes and shakes and rattles your house, the wind blows, and he's trying to shake your house down, you better have some foundation. That house better be on some rock. Doing Jesus' sayings. Amen. So some of the things, like a few weeks ago, I was getting ready to do calling in the lost, and I didn't really know exactly what he wanted me to teach on. He wanted me to teach out of this passage here in Romans 4, which is basically about Abraham, the father of our faith, and how he learned how to call those things that be not as though they were, and how he believed God for that miracle. Thank God that he did believe God for Isaac, and through Isaac, eventually, the seed, Jesus, came, and all of us received our salvation. That Redeemer stood on the earth, glory to God, through the faith of Abraham, really. So he's having me teach on that, and I was reviewing. That's one of my favorite things to teach on anyway, is the faith of Abraham and how that miracle really transpired. I like to teach the mechanics of it. And then God said something to me that there's no way I would have known this. But I was teaching that night. I was really emphasizing on calling those things that be not as though they were. Y'all know what I mean by that. And he said this to me. He said, "Son, for the vast majority of the prayer center, the only time when I ever hear any of them spend time regarding any subject, calling those things which be not as though they were, is during the calling in the lost service. Never any other time during the week. Not for the revival, and not for their own life, and not for their lost loved ones, and not for their healing, and not for anything else. The rest of the time, they live like normal humans. And I hear them call those things that are as though they are." Should we have a repentance? Trouble of it is, I was one of that number to a large extent. Because you can get so comfortable with truth that you begin to ignore it after a while. In the early days, I remember how those concepts. I mean, I thought I was lying to even begin calling those things that be not. I remember the struggle I went through in those early, early, early days when I began hearing the righteousness of God. And how many of y'all remember those in Him messages? Find all of the in Him scriptures, because that's who we are in Him. You know, and I remember the one in Corinthians where it says, we are, you know, He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I remember He says, you'll never rise above your confession. Now, I was raised under the kind of doctrine that says, you know, they would quote Jeremiah and they would quote from all the Old Testament prophets who at the time were speaking to a spiritually dead people. And they would say things like, and this is true of a spiritually dead man, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And I remember those in the church I grew up in, no, not one. You know, I mean, boy, they just thunder from the pulpit, you know, the thing of it is, they were teaching that to born again people not understanding the difference that we had gone from death to life in our spirit. Amen. So I was so programmed that I'm just an old slimy dog worm, that I ought to just be glad every day that God just doesn't stomp on me. You know, no matter that I'm born again, no matter that I've received Jesus. I mean, I just had that consciousness all the time. And here's reading directly out of the Bible, and you are the righteousness of God in Him. And you, boy, if you ever, you ought to engrave this somewhere on your bath, just etch it into the mirror so you have to see it in the bathroom. You will never rise above your confession. As long as you keep saying, I'm just an old worm, I'm just this, I'm just that, that's what you are. You'll never rise above that. So he says, you need to start saying what the Bible says about you. Doesn't that make sense? So he says, you need to say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I remember. So see, the reason I'm saying this, these concepts then were new. They were fresh to me. They were, oh. And I still remember the battle. The very first time, just the quietness of my own living room, nobody else around. And I'm trying to build up the courage just to say that sentence about myself, that I am. And I'd read it, and there it was. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that I could be made the righteousness of God in Him. It says it. It really says it. There it is. It says, I'm the righteousness of God in Him. Do I dare say that? I'll never rise above my confession. What did it say again? Let me read it again. And this war is going on. And I still remember. Finally, I got up enough courage. And it was almost like this. I'm exaggerating a little for teaching, but it was almost like, okay, here goes, God. Look, it says this in your Bible. It says, He, Jesus, was made to be sin who knew no sin, that I could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I'm waiting for the lightning bolts to come. Religion had programmed me. See? And no lightning bolt came. I am the righteousness of God in Him. And over a course of time, then I began to... He had a little book out called In Him. A dollar book. You can still buy it at Mardell's, I think. In Him. Has all the scriptures, or most of them, there for you already. And I've already made into a confession for you. So here I go. I'm walking the floor, you know, and I'm saying these things, you know, about myself. And the Word of God is alive. But I'm telling you, to me, it was definitely calling those things which be not as though they were. If I was to look at the evidence of my own life, even at the time, I go, I am. Sue and I used to have this thing. We don't say it anymore because we want to rise above this. But we used to say, strongholds are us. We started coming here and doing the message, you know. And, you know, you think you're in bad shape when you get here. Then you begin to pray. And all that strongholds, all that stuff you've been doing your best to hide. Now, okay, it starts coming to the surface where everybody else can see it and you can see it too. So you thought you were in bad shape when you come, and now, and then right in the midst of all your strongholds, you're supposed to go, I am the righteousness of God in Him. And you talk about having to learn to say, you know, call those things which be not as though they were. It was new to me then. And I got really good at doing it then after a while. Sue and I, we got to where we'd correct. And I've told you that story before. I thought I made a really good deal because I'm the head of the house and I'm pretty good at this, I figure, you know. So I say, okay, now, if you hear me saying anything negative, you just agree with me. You know, just say you agree with me and I'll do the same with you. And I figure I'm just going to, you know, really show her up bad. I'm just telling you the truth now. That was the worst deal I ever made in my life. I had no earthly idea. It seemed like everything that come out of my mouth, in those days, I'd say, you know, my back is killing me. To go, I agree with you in Jesus. No, don't agree with me in Jesus' name. You know, I said, this economy is going right in the toilet. I agree with you. No, don't agree with me. That was one of the worst mistakes ever made in my life. And But again, though, that was good for us because I didn't realize until we did that, the death I had been programmed to speak. And listen, it's not just religion, it's the world. That's right. The whole world is in a negative flow. The more I'm into this, the more I understand why Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't even let Lester Sumrall carry a newspaper into his house. Now, you know what Smith said? Leave that unbelief on the porch. You don't bring that in my house. Now, what is a newspaper? It's full of calling things that are as though they are. And to Smith, that's unbelief. Did y'all ever know what... When the spies went over and spied out the land, you know what the Bible says about that? It says they brought back an evil report. Did y'all ever really look at that? Today that would be CNN. Because they didn't tell a single lie. Everything that they reported was factual. It was their conclusion that was wrong. But the facts, the sons of Anak did live there. There were giants in the land. The people were a warlike people that devoured everyone that come into it. You just go down that list, everything they said, you might as well just put it on, you know, I mean, they were reporting accurately. Now, the conclusion was wrong when they said, we be not able to take the land. But see, God called that whole thing an evil report. And basically what it is calling things that are as though they are. Yes, sir. Now, we're only going to review this partially because, yes, sir. Okay. Because he's not going to totally reteach that. See, it's not that you guys don't know that. Most of you in here could probably teach it. Alan back there can probably teach this better than I can. I mean, he's trained by Norval Hayes, for crying out loud. I remember in the early 80s, I listened to Norval Hayes' tapes from like 80 up through about 86 at least. To the point, to this day, when the Holy Ghost has to get on my case, I normally hear the Holy Ghost in Norval's voice. I hear Norval's voice. I'll get into wondering, like, you know, I'm standing in faith for something to happen, and I'll get to thinking, God, you know, without, I won't say it out loud, you know, but I'll just be thinking, when is this ever going to come to pass? And I'll hear it just as plain. I'll do my best to imitate. Faith doesn't wear a watch, my brothers and sisters. Wondering when it's going to happen and wondering how it's going to happen, that's called doubt. How am I doing? I'll hear that again. I go, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, forgive me, Lord. I won't be wondering when anymore. Now faith is. I believe I received when I prayed, you know, and get back into it. But now the thing of it is, he's not wanting to reteach all that tonight, but what he's wanting to do is remind you of it and have you do an inventory in your own life. How much are you calling things that be not as though they were? And how much are you calling things that are as though they are? There is no power to change anything calling things that are as though they are. Well, in fact, if anything, you are reestablishing what is. If you don't like what is, just keep calling what is, and you'll continue to have what is. Now look at this, Romans 4. Let's look at the steps of Abraham. Gosh, it's also good. We'll pick it up in verse 11. How about verse 10? How about verse 8? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Boy, you got that right. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Now he's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Well, how was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision? In other words, under the law? Or in uncircumcision? Well, he never was under the law. Was it in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. In other words, before he was a Jew. Can I say it that way? That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. He's talking about the Gentiles. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now, stop right there. It started off saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How many of y'all want that blessing? Come on, do you want it or not? Let me. There's people actually here. Okay. How many of you want that blessing? All right, look. It is imputed to them that righteousness might be imputed to them also. He is the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk. Do you want it? You want that blessing? Who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Why? So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them only which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here's our verse. Here's what Abraham had to learn. We said all that leading up to this. As it is written, here's the promise made to Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations. Stop. When God made that promise to him, how many children did Abraham have? If you looked at his circumstances, would you have said, how would you know that Abraham was the father of many nations? Abraham would tell you. Because his name means, I am the father of many nations. You say, how many children do you have? He says, well, physically I have none. Well, how do you say, Abraham, that you are, present tense, now, the father of many nations? Because I have God's word. Amen. That's all the evidence I need. That's all the evidence I need. I have God's word. That's what faith is. And it's never going to be anything else. That's what faith is. How do we know Tulsa is in revival? God sent Dave here for that reason. We have God's word on it. Tulsa is in revival. Well, do you have any evidence? Yes. You want to drive up and down 11th Street and up and down Archer and up and down for your evidence? No. Someday you'll be able to. How do you know Tulsa's in revival? God said so. That's all the evidence I need. When our daughters were doing their best to go to hell on us. Two of them are here. Angie always reminds me, Daddy, I did the least to go to hell. And she did. She did. Now, if we was going to go by the natural circumstances, you'd have heard, if you'd have come and talked to Sue and I at that time, if we had not have learned this, I'm telling you, the storm had come to tear down our house. And the devil was telling us all, I mean, they're all three teenagers, they're just 2 years apart. They were all in rebellion at the same time. And the devil was telling us he's going to kill them all, going to, you know, car wrecks and all kinds of bad stuff. And he's going to wind up in hell and all this. And if we hadn't had some kind of bedrock foundation, he might would have won it. Now, if you'd have come and asked, and if we had not have learned these things, we'd be like everybody else that tells it like it is. And at the time, if you'd have come and said, well, how's Aaron doing? Now, there's two ways to go here. Can I? Well, she's running around with her bleached blonde hair in her red Mustang convertible, going from bar to bar, seeing how much trouble she can get in. Her and her girlfriends just drinking and flirting. Am I telling the truth? She's sitting right there. Aaron says she tries to remember that period of time, and she goes, Daddy, it's just kind of a haze. You know, it's just kind of a haze, you know. Now see, if you'd have come, now we're living in this. And it wasn't just her at the same time, the other two. Now, they said, well, how are your daughters doing? We're going to find out something about you right now. If you're one of those that tells it like it is, said, oh, we just don't know what's going to happen. Them girls are all in rebellion, I'm telling you. They're out drinking and partying. And we didn't raise them like, you know, we make yourself look good. We didn't raise them like that. I'm telling you, we didn't raise them like that. But there they are, and they're out there partying and drinking and doing all this. And we try and get them to go to church, and we try and be good to them and all that. And they just keep doing what they want to do. They just won't listen to us. I told them that guy was no good for them. I told them that guy. But they just keep, the more I tell them, the more they just keep going to that guy. And no, we could bend your ear for half an hour. And what are we doing? We're establishing even deeper what is. We're lending our mouth and the authority God gave us to the devil who's trying to destroy them. And just telling it what is, calling what is like it is. There is no power to it's already like it is. There's no power to change it by calling it like it is. Now, and I mean we would do it to a fault. To the point, it'd make you mad. Some of our real friends later almost kind of got mad at us. Because we wouldn't, I mean, if they'd say, how the kids doing? Here we'd go. And it was easy for us because we did it privately together alone in our house. We'd make these kind of confessions. It was what was in our heart in abundance. It was easy. Say, well, how are your daughters doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They're taught by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus is the love of their life, and they're putting Him first in everything they do. Every place they go, they witness for Jesus. Everything they do is about the kingdom of God. Our daughters serve the Lord. They prophesy. Our daughters prophesy. And at that moment, I've got a vision in there of them sloppy drunk, you know, some, you know, yeah. But I'm calling things that be not. As though they were. I've got to walk in the steps of the faith of my father Abraham if I'm going to have those blessings. I've got to walk in the steps of faith. I've got to have some foundation under my house. Glory to God. Call those things that be not as though they were until they are. Well, did it happen overnight? You must be kidding. With some of them it was shorter, but before the whole thing was over, it was years. Years. It got very bad in some of the circumstances. But through all those through all those lemons that were thrown up towards God, and a lot of times in our life we just give God lemons, by walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, and a lot more now, walking in integrity, walking in love, everything that goes together, the whole package. Eventually God took all those lemons. And He made the sweetest lemonade you ever saw. And I want you to know all three of them today are working with us in the ministry. And raising our grandchildren. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Raising up godly seed too. We've got to become a people. We are not normal humans. This world is not your home. The life that's in you did not originate on this planet. And Jesus doesn't expect us to think like normal humans, talk like normal humans, act like normal humans, because we're not normal humans. You are from another world. Say it out loud. Say, I am from another world. This earth is not my home. My daddy is God. I'm on loan as a blessing to planet Earth. Until it's time to go home. Then I'm taking the first train home out of here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. They asked me, said, you know, I don't know why they'd ask such a young man as me this, but somebody, you know, would you want to sign one of those resuscitation things? You know, where they put you on life support and all that? What do they call it? NRA, DNR, do not resuscitate. Did I do it right finally, DNR? Do not resuscitate. And do you want to be an organ donor? I said, do not resuscitate, and yes, I will donate my organs. Listen, I am not a... I got another body waiting on me. My Bible tells me it's reserved for me in heaven. And if they can get any good out of this one, have at. But I tell you right now, I am not afraid to die. I am not. Now I'm not, you know, I'm not doing anything to speed it up either. But I'm on the first train out of here. When the glory train comes, I'm on it. This is not my home. I am so aware of that. So aware of that. We need to walk that way. We're not of this world, people. Okay, we're getting, I don't want to get so on that I don't do what he says. Now, so I was teaching all this at Calling in the Lost and going through all this. And when I said that, what God said about, God says week after week, I listen and I don't ever hear any of them. I don't hear them saying, calling anything that be not as though it were. I hear them telling everything like it is. The only time I hear them calling things that be not as though they were is during Calling in the Lost. When I said that to him, I could tell, you know, the eyes go down and, oh, brother, I could tell it hit home, you know. So I was teaching along this line, and I knew he was wanting me to say some things about it tonight. But then tonight he's going to tailor it a little different. See, Abraham's faith didn't begin at that level. Abraham's obedience didn't begin when God changed his name. You got to go all the way back to when Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. And the first time God said, he said, leave everything you know. Leave your land, leave your family, and go unto a land that I shall show you. In other words, when Abraham left, he didn't even know where he was going to wind up. Does that sound like faith to you? We know about that, don't we? Progressive obedience causes your faith to mature. Progressive obedience. God didn't do that supernatural miracle the first time that he ever had any interaction with Abraham. It began way back there, and you could study time after time. God would say things like, I want you to walk through the land, walk through the width and the breadth of it. And Abraham didn't stay at home. He got up and he walked through the land. Walked through the width and the breadth of it. Every time God would tell him something, Abraham would do it. Do y'all know what I call that? I call that faith. You hear from God and you do it. Now, that brings us around to this prophecy. This is one of the first prophecies that's come through Pastor Dave this year at the prayer center. And you got to understand, God has, if you count yourself a part of this vision, a part of this, what we call the prayer center, and that would include people that's getting this tape that don't physically live in Tulsa. We have lots of people that don't physically live here who are a part of this vision. Amen? And so when a word comes for the body, like through Pastor Dave, I take that very personally, don't you? And at least we should. And I knew at the beginning of this year, and I didn't even have time to discuss it. Tim and I didn't get to talk about it. We found out later that God had said to us independently that God was saying, boy, now this year, you better be really paying attention to the words, the prophecies that come to the prayer center. And because they're timely, you need to act on them. We're moving. This train is moving. Okay? I knew that to the point I brought a recorder with me. I started bringing my own recorder because I didn't want to wait. If a prophecy came. And so first couple of services that I brought the recorder, there wasn't a prophecy. So then the first time when I brought it, when there was, and it was this one, when there was, I plugged the microphone into the wrong hole. I got home. I was so proud of myself and I had nothing. You know, I said, God, you got to help me. So then he arranged for me to get this. Now, let me just read this to you. And let's just take this one for tonight. This prophecy came on January 9th. And the reason that he's connecting this up with the foundational things of Abraham, there's more to this. Listen, calling those things which be not as though they were is a foundational, fundamental, bedrock stone that your house better be built on. And I can tell from the reaction when I started this earlier, we need a lot of repentance and we need it yesterday. Okay? So, but now listen, even when you change that, that's just part of Abraham's faith. To walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham is what he really did all along the path is when he would hear from God, he would do what God said. So with that thinking in mind, let me read this prophecy. It's very good. It's encouraging. And this was from January 9th. It came through Pastor Dave. It was during the 10 o'clock service. And it says, "For he that has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit would say. For with much edification and exhortation and comfort, when I speak to you in this year to come, many of you will rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for you will catch glimpses of light in understanding of things you had not understood before." Did you hear that? Becky, you really love me, don't you? See, now I know Becky. She's listening. I know Becky. And she is sitting there. She is listening with every fiber of... Raise your hand. Not everybody might know you. She's listening with every fiber of her being. And when the Lord says, now, see, this is the way I listen to Him. I'm sitting over there and I hear this prophecy. She'll hear it like, "Becky, be exceedingly glad. You're going to rejoice. Becky, this year, you're going to get light and some understanding in things that you haven't understood before." And, whoa. You go, "Dude, you know." Whoa. So, "For is not this line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little?" See, and David said before, he says, "Gary, we've still got, not just Gary, but we still got a lot of things that we don't understand. Otherwise, if that wasn't the case, we would be in the revival." Amen? It's not like God's withholding it. All right? So I get excited when I hear that. Everyone, so just go, say this after me. This is the year. I'm going to understand some things that I've not understood before. I'm real happy about that. Amen. All right, now let's go on a little more here. "Now hear what the Spirit would say." Oh, now I like this. I double check this. I want to make sure that this was right. And it is. "This is the year that many of you will step into what I have for you." Say this out loud. This is the year. Turn to somebody and go, "This year, I'm going to step into what God has for me." Turn the other direction and say, "This year." This year. I kept meditating on this. And I got to remember in one of Dad Hagen's last prophecies. I think it was the Winter Bible Seminar of the year 2003. And he was prophesying about the year 2005 and 2006. In 2005, he said, would start off as a year of judgment. Do y'all remember that? Individual judgment. Judgment in the family. Judgment in the ministries. And he said it would start off very stern. A year of discipline. I remember him saying things like that. A year of discernment. See, that's not real pleasant, is it? You know, ooh, discipline. All of that. But then he said the latter part of the year would be glorious. He said it would be glorious, and he would get to the point he couldn't hardly have words to describe it. And then he said it would go right on over into the year 2006. And he says, it's so glorious. He says, how do you describe a tree to an Eskimo? There is no words. They have no concept of a tree. He said, what I'm seeing that God's going to bring in the latter part of 2005 and in 2006, there are no words to tell people what God is coming with. Well, no wonder 2005. No wonder you're going to start off this year as a year of discernment, as a year of judgment. If we're a bunch of people running around calling things that are as though they are, we need to repent and start calling those things which be not. You need to take an inventory. Just go through your life. Where is my life a mess? Let me start a list. This list is headed life mess. Okay. My finances are not good, you know, this and that and this, you know. And okay, most of y'all know that I am fighting a battle in with my hip right now. If you don't know, I am, okay? Big deal. All right? Big deal. Hey, you think I don't ever get attacked? What? At least, it's been hard. It's been really hard. One night I had to do calling in and loss from a chair, but I still did it. Okay? Well, now see, I got to be real careful because this, when you have pain and it's real bad pain and it's been with you a long time, little pictures start forming in your mind from the devil. He starts painting pictures of you in a wheelchair. And like, you're never going to travel again, Gary. You're never going to go overseas. You're never going to preach in Africa again. You're never going to Korea. You're never going anywhere. And then Sue's going, and that's the way it sounds. And I got to fight that. And for sure, I can't be going around telling everybody, oh, my hip. Oh, it's so bad. I don't know if I'm ever going to preach again, you know, and go around telling everybody, oh, my body. Have you heard about my pain? Let me tell you about my pain. I got pain right. It hurts right here. Now, that's how people do it. They want little pity parties and pet me. You need a good kicking, not a petting. You know, you kick right in the keister. You're calling things that are as though they are. Let me tell you right now, I will preach in Africa again. I will preach in Korea again. I will preach anywhere on this earth God sends me. I will fly on airplanes 18 hours, 24 hours, whatever I have to do. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Pain free,
I'll do it too. In Jesus' name. You gotta learn. I'm gonna join my mouth one way or the other. I'm either gonna call it like it is, or I'm gonna call things that be not as though they were.
Hallelujah.
One, you're just agreeing with the devil. The other, you're bringing the very power of God to change your situation. Amen? That's what faith is. But faith hears God and believes God and acts on everything God says. And that's what I'm trying to get across tonight. Abraham, it's not just that. From the time he heard God over in Ur, he would obey what God said. So let's get back to this word, because this is a strong word for us. It's very encouraging. This is the year. Is that not an encouraging year, a word for you? This is the year that many of you will step into what I have for you. For as much activity forms around my foundation, and all of you will see how I begin to build with the supernatural. Listen to those words. As you begin to see how I build with the supernatural. Was y'all in church? Well, I don't want to ask you that. In church Sunday during the second service, a baby was brought that was born with congestive heart failure, a cleft palate, to the point when they would try and feed it milk out of a bottle, it would gag and, you know, sputter and everything. Couldn't do that. Plus, some of its vertebrae, as I understand, were stacked up on other vertebrae where the baby couldn't stand up or couldn't sit up, rather. Couldn't sit up. Right at the beginning of the service. And the Spirit of God was here in power. And so Dave prayed. We all prayed. And as God would have it, that lady with that baby was sitting directly in front of me. So I got a bird's eye view. I'm just right overlooking at everything. You know? Now, this woman came in faith. She came with a bottle prepared. This baby's never been able to have a bottle. She came with a bottle prepared. She's like that woman says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Her faith was, if they pray for this baby will be healed. So I watched her. She took that bottle. She sat right down in that chair. She didn't waste no time. She got that bottle out, right in that baby's mouth. Here we go. Take that, baby. And I sat right there and I watched, and that baby just drank that bottle down. Never gagged once, never nothing. Just drank that bottle down. She puts the baby up on its shoulder to start burping it, you know. Pat, 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 pat. Baby eventually burped. And when she was bringing it back, fixing to cradle it back in her arms, the baby just sat up in her lap. She just sat there. And she went, this baby can't sit. See, she shouldn't have done that. But she was just astonished. She was, this baby, but it is sitting. As I begin to build with the supernatural, build with the supernatural. And as you see it, he says, many of those things I've held before you as truths this whole time, you're going to begin to see them. And when the foundations of these things begin to form and these things begin to happen, it will cause many of you to see the next place that I'm going, and it will give you faith and confidence to receive my grace and you take a step forward. Now, is that all a good word? Don't you wish I'd stop right there? But he didn't, so I can't. There's one more paragraph. And here comes the faith of Abraham part. Be strong and commit this year to much fasting. I didn't hear any amens. Boy, amen all that. This is the year to call people up on the phone. Let me tell you about the prophecy. This is the year I'm going to step into what God has for me. This is the year we're going to see God build with the supernatural. Did he say anything else? Yeah, he said we're going to have much fasting. Bye. Be strong. Be strong and commit this year to much fasting. I wish he said a little. No, I don't. Now, see, where is Jared? Are you here? Am I saying your name right? Raise your hand. That young man, it takes courage because he's a very humble and courteous young man. I've known him for a long time. It took courage for him to step up that night and deliver the word that the Lord gave to him. But I'm telling you, it was a true word. And I had to get I got corrected myself. Y'all know my thing. Y'all remember what I said? Fasting sucks. Didn't I say that? It's on tape already. Don't look at me like that. It's on tape already. I've said it. He knows it. And I've always, and I've made funnies, and we all laugh because everybody can relate with that. Nobody likes fasting. And then here, the word of the Lord, though. Now listen, the word of the Lord came, and I'm listening, and I got corrected and paraphrased. The Lord says, stop ridiculing that which I love. The Lord says, I want you to be doing much fasting, and I rejoice when you do it. Stop talking against it and stop ridiculing it. That's basically what he said, right? I mean, that's the idea. And I thought about that. I went home and said, Lord, I'm guilty, aren't I? And he just took me right back to Matthew 6, you know, where Jesus was teaching about when you give your alms, do it secretly. Your Father is watching, and what he sees in secret, he'll reward openly. When you pray, don't do it for show. Don't do it, to be seen of men. But do it secretly between you and your Father, and he will reward you openly. And right in there with giving and prayer, which I know God loves those two things. And when you fast. And I'm going, I got to tell you, all my life, I had never really seen it. I said, God, you mean you get as much pleasure when I fast as when I pray? You get as much pleasure when I fast as when I give to the poor? I had never seen it. It never had hit me until that word. So I'm in the same boat with you guys. Hey, when the word of the Lord comes, time to repent. If I'm guilty, repent. So let me just call a few things now that be not as though they were. I love fasting. Fasting is easy for me. This body obeys my spirit. Can't you feel faith in those words? Can't you feel that? I feel that when I say it. You eat when I tell you. Now I know it's going to try and body slam me later. I've been through some of those before. Ah, bam, We're going to McDonald's on the way home, You tell me, I'll show you who's boss. Whammo! So we got to do all of the message, the praying in tongues to build our spirit up and the fasting to keep our flesh down. It's not like there's not a war, but I do know, I see it. I've never seen it till he said it that night. I do see where I had been giving the enemy ammunition with my mouth to hinder my own fasting life. Why on earth would a smart man do that? So thank you. I received it. From this day forward, fasting's easy for me. Now, I don't brag about it, but I'm just telling you, when I want to fast, I can do it. And I can fast as long as I want to fast, too. And I don't fast for show, but my Father watches in secret, and He rewards me openly. Glory to God. You got to change. There it is. So I've got another block in my foundation now. See, and you watch. I won't be mocking fasting anymore. You watch me. You watch. Hallelujah. All right. Be strong and commit this year to much fasting, much prayer, and much time coming to know me and my presence. I take that to be worship. So the three things that he really, really put emphasis on, and in this order, is fasting, prayer, and worship. Do we want the first two paragraphs? Then we cannot ignore the third one. See, and that's what he's been showing us about the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Let me see. Yes, sir. Okay. This always gets people. I can't imagine what it was like for, you know, Abraham to have those kind of encounters like he did with God and to hear God so clear. And to where it's recorded for all eternity, word for word, what God said to him. Wasn't that amazing, you know? And I can imagine what that, man, that must have been the presence of God and so how real that was. I mean, to be right there and hear God's voice like that. The trouble is, though, after that encounter, he had to go home to his tent. Wearing his hundred, I mean, here God just said, you're going to have a baby. And he's wearing his hundred-year-old body. And he's going home to the tent where his wife lives and her 100-year-old buddy. And the presence of God is not there in the same way when he was... I mean, you know, you have those mountaintop experiences when... Boy, and at that moment, man... You know, give me a knife. I can cut the atmosphere. I can feel God here. It's so thick, you know. And then tomorrow when you're doing the laundry... or ironing the clothes or mowing the lawn, it's like, did that happen? And the devil goes, did God say? Has God said? You know? And don't you know Abram had to, he had to have those exact same feelings, see? And what if, after God changed his name, your name shall no more be called Abram, but Abraham. Let's say he did pretty good for a week. Let's give him 2 weeks. 2 weeks of calling those things which be not as though they were, which means maybe you've known him for 20 years out there in the desert. You're a neighbor. You live over the third sand dune. And you come to visit him. Say, Abram, I haven't seen you in so long. How you doing? Well, I'm doing fine, but I need to tell you, my name's no longer Abram. It isn't. What's your name now? My name is Abraham. And you know that in that language, he says, I am the father of a multitude. And you're looking at him and you're going, now I've known Abram and Sarah for 20 years. He's a dried up old prune married to a dried up old prune. And they ain't never had any kids. And you know, you're thinking all this, but you don't want to be uncourteous, you know. And you say, now, Abraham now, who told you? Here it comes. Who told you you're the father of a multitude? God told me. Can't you just see the look? Oh. God, Myrtle, God told him. That old man's been out in the sun too long without his turban, you know. You'd have to see that look on people's faces. What if I come up to Tim, next time I see Tim, say, Tim, my name is no longer Gary, it's Gerhardt. Who told you your name is Gerhardt? God told me. Now, Tim would be real nice, but, you know, it might still be just a twinge of a look. The pressure's on you. You look like a fool. And what if Abraham had held fast to that for maybe 2 weeks? Let's give him a month. But eventually, when that presence is not strong and you can't feel that atmosphere of God, and now you're in the same old of life every day, your routine, you know, and you got to shake the dust out of your sandals again, and you know, and the fleas are infesting your tent, and whatever goes on out there in the desert, you're just doing the daily old stuff, and the devil's all the time there going, you never heard God in the first place. You look at yourself, look at your wife. You guys going to have a baby? You're not having no baby. Now, let me just ask you, what if after a month, let's say he did good for 30 days, but after 30 days, Abraham says, you know, I'll go along with this, but all but one part. I'm not going to keep calling myself Abraham. I mean, I know who I am. I'm just Abram. So God, I thank you for speaking with me, and I still believe it all, but I'm not going to really call myself the father of many nations. I'll believe all of it, but I'm just not going to do that part. Let me ask you, would he have gotten his miracle? Come on, louder for the tape. Would he?
No,
he wouldn't have got it. Faith has two parts, not one. If you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. We spend way too much time believing. The Lord said, that's impossible. But we do not spend enough time saying. We fall way short in the confessing. We just tend to fall back into the pattern of normal humans, which we're not. But normal humans tell it like it is. Normal humans call things that are as though they are. And that if Abraham would have done that, if he'd just gone back to saying, I know who I am. I'm just Abram. Listen, God, I believe you, but I'm not going to change what I say. I'm not going to change what I'm confessing about myself. But I believe you. Would he have had his miracle? Will we get ours?
No.
No. Not unless we're willing to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Faith has two parts. Now, I suggest we're still in the beginning of the year. This is only February. I think we're in for the most exciting year that we've ever seen myself. I personally do believe that. I believe that prophecy that came through Dad Hagin. I believe by the end of this year we'll be seeing things that's not been seen for 2,000 years. I believe that. I do believe this is the year. See, and even if you're stepped into a part of your ministry, you think I believe that what we're walking in now is all God has for us? You must be kidding. I believe we're in about 2 inches of God's grace. If that. I'm talking about Sue and I and our ministry. God's got so much more He wants to do. And I believe we're going to step into a big chunk more of it this year. But that in order to do that, I'm going to have to do paragraph 3. And I can now because fasting's easy for me. Glory to God. I like fasting. Hallelujah. Huh? No. I like it because my father likes it. I like it because my father, that's what he said. My father likes it. I like it. I like what my father likes. I would suggest this. See, do you know God not only wants a revival in Tulsa, He wants a revival in your life. All of these things that we do for like calling in the lost on Sunday night where we get together and we're really contending for the city, those same principles, He wants revival in your life. Your marriage should be like the days of heaven on earth. Your children, I don't care where they are. I don't care if they're in prison. I don't care what kind of rebellion they're in. It does not matter. Quit calling things that are as though they are. I would take a list. Let's take an inventory, a life inventory. Every area of your life that you need God's power in. Can I say it that way? You need God's power to come. You need a revival. List it like it is. But then find verses where God promises you how it can be. Then pray, believe you receive when you pray. And from that day forward, you call those things which be not as though they were. Could be with your kids. It could be with your marriage. Could be with your finances. Could be with your body. Could be with your ministry. Could be with your neighbors. Could be with your outlaws, your in-laws. Could be with anything. But God's power comes through words. Hallelujah. Then, okay, yes, sir. Okay. Now, this is a word for the body. This prophecy that I've been reading tonight. So, again, if you physically attend this church, it's for you. If you spiritually attend this church, what I mean by that, through the Tate ministry or some other means, then it's for you. Now, that's where it starts. And now let's go beyond there. I'm always getting letters and emails and people asking, how to get started in ministry. You know, now, as little as we are, which I consider us little, still yet, we minister to about 8,000 families in 53 nations, and we do it all for free. People say, how do you do that? And I say, we pray and obey. Now, that's not what they want to hear. They want me to give them instructions. And I can't give them instructions. I'll never forget this story. It's a true happening in Yanji Cho's life. You know, Yanji Cho built the biggest church in Korea. And actually, it was the biggest church in the world. And there's young students, ministry students, who had graduated from Bible college and everything. They came and they listened to Yanji Cho for several months. They took diligent notes. And they made up an agreement they were going to go to another part of Korea or somewhere. And they were going to do exactly the same thing that Cho did and build a big church. They were going to do exactly what he did. So they went and they tried it and they failed miserably. So they come back and they finally get a meeting with Dr. Cho. And they tell him, says, we read all your books. We attended here for months. We took notes. We found out exactly every single step, everything you did. We went over to so-and-so province and we did exactly the same thing. And it totally failed. God never showed up. Nothing ever happened. Why did that happen that way? And I don't do China, I don't do Korean very well. No, I don't. Sue goes, no, you don't. Anyway, he just kind of leaned back and he says, ah, I see you have become the disciples of Cho. But you have not yet become the disciples of Jesus. He says, you don't need to imitate what he told me to do. You need to go and pray and find out what he tells you to do. His anointing and his power will come with that. So, when you first come to this church, everybody basically has the same problem. Brother Dave, Brother Gary, Brother Tim, my problem is I can't hear God. So we load them up with tapes and books and have them sit here. They begin doing the message. They begin praying in the Spirit, meditating the Word in whole images. They begin doing some fasting, assimilating. 6 months down the road, they come and they say, Brother Dave, Brother Gary, Brother Tim, I have a bigger problem. What is your problem now? I heard God. You won't believe what He's telling me to do. And we're going, yeah, we probably will. And there we're going to find out if you're a candidate for walking in the steps of the faith of your father Abraham. God has never told Dave to do some of the things he's told me to do. But yet he's never told me to do some of the... God never told me personally to stand for revival in Tulsa. He told me to serve Dave. That's what he told me to do. This is to serve under here and be a part of it. But that's not my calling. I'm to help in that calling. Can you see the difference? God tells me certain things to do. Our tape ministry functions a certain way. He doesn't give those same instructions to Tim or Dave. Now, he's got stuff for you to do. Just in our house this week, there's been some things. We've had some carpet put in, some things. Listen, folks, there is no shortage of opportunities to witness. There are no shortage of lost people. There's no shortage of backsliders. They don't need your religion. They need His love. God can reach through my wife way easier than He reaches through Gary's words. For she has a love in her that is birthed by the Spirit that I just don't have. I have gifts and abilities in the kingdom that she doesn't have. We're beginning to understand why God teamed us up. Okay? It's a real good 1-2 punch. But the point is, the fields are white for harvest. If you're truly kingdom-minded. We've had tears in our living room twice, just misty-eyed, already this week. So anyway, there's... Say, well, I'm waiting for Him to launch me into ministry. You're launched. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And everybody you come in contact with is your field. And many of them, okay, you say, well, they're born again, they're Spirit-filled. I'm telling you right now, they need a word of comfort. They need a word of encouragement. They need a touch of love from the Shepherd. There is no such thing as somebody who does not need more of Christ's love. And He can minister that love through us. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. Recapping, because he really did have an agenda for tonight. Number one, personally, if really, take this to heart. Because we're all guilty of it, let's just fess up. Everybody has been saying things that are as though they are. So let's just, but personally, in your own life, now for example, my friend Richard, I never do say it right, do it. William, what? Dick, you. Like I'm believing for my hip, he's believing for kidneys.
Right.
You're right. Amen? And things that are associated with that, sight and other things, okay? Now, if I'm a good friend to him, see, if I hear him saying, well, I just don't know if my kidneys are ever going... Right about there, I need to slap him hard. In love, you know. In love. Now, maybe on the hand. I go, stop that. Don't be talking like that. Say, let me hear what Jesus says about your kidneys. He'll say, I got new kidneys. My God supplies all my need.
Yes.
And if kidneys is what I need, my God supplies them.
Amen.
See, we've got to have God's power. Got to have God's creative power on the scene.
Yes.
Now, I told you about my hip tonight just so you'd know. But I'm telling you, you ask me, you try me. Try me and see. Just try me. How's your hip? My hip is good. Strong. Healed.
Amen.
We can run through a troop and leap over a wall, can't we?
Can we, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you need to take an inventory in your life. Change with the power of words. You can start walking in the faith of the steps of our father Abraham. But I'm telling you right now, it takes discipline. It takes work. It takes persistence. After a while, it becomes somewhat easy for you. But it takes practice to start really consistently calling those things that be not as though they were. Okay? Business people. I won't pick on anybody in particular. You got to watch what you say. Say, well, the economy's bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Isaac prospered in what? Got to watch what we say. Okay? So that's a big part. Secondly, he wanted to bring to your attention those instructions. I don't know about you, but my eating schedule doesn't change unless I make it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Fast more won't happen unless I, on purpose, start making some decisions. And then really, I need to make those decisions in prayer, not by asking you.
Amen.
See? To Daisy, a short fast is 21 days. That's not a short fast to me. My body, I better talk to the Holy Ghost. He knows my body better than anybody. So how long do I need to start? What days do I need? Maybe, you know, when he first started me on fasting, it was just series fasting. One day on, one day off. 2 days on, 2 days off. 3 days, and then, you know, all different combinations. You know? But I do know if I don't get serious about it, if I just ignore it, my eating schedule's not going to change. My prayer life isn't. I like to know, well, when are you going to pray? Bernard, when are you going to pray? Tomorrow. When are you going to pray? I'm not really picking on Bernard, but I am. But see, and he probably has a schedule. But I've already found out if you don't schedule something like prayer, you have all the good intentions in the world don't mean you're going to pray a lick. I'm going to pray more. When? When? What's tomorrow? Thursday. Tim already knows. Under normal conditions, don't call me before 11. You can call, but you're just going to get my voicemail. See? Well, yeah, but my house is on fire. The Holy Ghost will tell me. You know, but I'm in conference with someone higher than you until 11. You know, you got to do something on purpose for change to happen. So we've got fasting, we've got prayer, and then worship. Sure is quiet.
We love you, Gary.
I love you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll close with this. What does that mean, Angie, when I say I'm closing? It doesn't mean anything at all. That's right. A pastor friend of mine is struggling with the concept, and it's not anybody you really know, so quit it. could be one of many. This is a real deal, though. And he's struggling getting into the, practice of confession. What I mean by that is an on-purpose time of calling things that be not as though they were, or we could say it this way, speaking God's word over his circumstances. It's just a new concept to him. He was raised in the same denomination I was, and they don't teach that there. Now, he's a pastor. He's actually pastoring a church, and he's struggling, trying to establish this principle in his life. And he asked me for help. He says, Gary, what was it that finally got you to do it? And I said, fear of failure. Because failure is a real possibility. You do have the option of wasting your life. And he will let you. Jesus will let you. God will let you. You do have that option if you choose. It's like he never makes anybody go to hell, but everyone has the option if they want to. Isn't that right? Well, so I told my friend, I said, look, failure is a genuine option. And I've told y'all before in our testimony, when God was first trying to get me to start confessing the word 4 hours a day, y'all remember that? The only thing that finally got me to do it wasn't my great faith. I just come right up to the edge of bankruptcy and there was nothing else to do. I mean, there was nothing else to do. And that's the reason that I did it. And if I hadn't, we would have gone bankrupt. And we wouldn't be in ministry today. And I might already be at my other home. Because my purpose here would be over. Amen? So he's reaching deep now. You want things to change? It's up to you. I just heard this passage of Scripture, and it's from Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to look at it later. This is when the Hebrew Christians, the young Jewish believers who had done, they had gone from trusting in the law to save them to trusting in the blood of Jesus to save them. Now they were under strong persecution. Not only was the enemy coming against them emotionally, but I mean they were under physical persecution. Their property was being confiscated. They weren't allowed to attend the universities. They were being shunned in the community. All of that trying to force them back to be normal. Give up this Jesus. Go back under the law. Listen to the... And that's... See, what God's calling us to tonight is not be normal. Stop talking and acting and thinking like normal humans, because we're not. But the pressure of the world and the pressure of religion is just stay like you are. Go back to being just normal. Don't be believing for this supernatural revival. Hear the word of the Lord to those people, and it's the same to us. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 35. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen.